ก็ไม่ใช่เลยหายก็ไม่ได้มากดมึงแต่เก่าแล้วก็เลยไม่ได้มีทีที่จะมาบอกเลยคุณ
Good afternoon, Ms. Sylvia. My name is Namsa Machesi. I'm the member of this committee.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Wamani Watuchen. I'm a member of this committee. The sign language interpreter that's voicing for me is Bill Peterson.
Okay, thank you very much, honorable members. And then, honorable members, I want to declare up front that this candidate comes from Gauteng. Because she's one of the activists in our organization, I want to declare up front that, you know, I know her. So that tomorrow people must not say I did not say it, that I know her. But anyway, my question is not that much, but it's about her introducing herself and telling us who is she and why did she apply for this post. Why does she think she's the best candidate for this post? Thank you very much. Over to you, Sylvia.
Thank you very much for the honor, for being invited for the interview. I'm Sylvia Stevens-Mazia. I am a social worker by undergraduate qualifications. I hold postgraduate qualifications in policy development, policy management, in local government administration. I also underwent training in terms of gender training in Amsterdam. I also hold a qualification that's incomplete in terms of my info in knowledge management decision making from the University of Stellenbosch. So my qualification will not be M4, but it will be lower than that because I've not submitted the research. I'm an activist. I'm a national executive member of the South African National Civic Organization. I have held various positions in the civic structure. I've always upheld within their position the gender activist work. I've led the women's death in Sanko. I've also worked in my profession in various areas, one in the Department of Social Development, where I was working in terms of the poverty eradication flagships, where I was particularly when, after 1994, when there was the element of gender empowerment or women empowerment, where in Gauteng in particular, in Bekkerstal and in Rietabyseng, I was the champion for that process. I then furthermore move in terms of my working in the COCTA, the Department of Cooperative Government and Traditional Affairs, where I was responsible for the review and the implementation through the 4,277 municipalities on the gender policy framework within the municipalities. So I've also worked throughout that. And there was a short period where I was also a commissioner for the CGE, and I've also worked for that period there. And then I also currently working in terms of the Ministry for Women. I feel I am a good candidate or the best candidate for the position because I balance between academic qualifications. I'm a South African. I'm a law-abiding citizen. I understand the Constitution. I'm an activist in terms of both gender, children's rights, HIV and AIDS, and a number of other areas. And I'm also a very, in my leadership style, I work well within teams, I perform, hence I am also serving my life as an activist, e.g. in Sanko and also in the ANC Women's League. And I'm also a member in the Progressive Women's Movement of South Africa, part of the women in the country that have worked tirelessly in ensuring that institutions should be established. And I come from a rich background of learning from my predecessors in terms of what the country needs to do in terms of a gender equal society, dealing with the triple oppression of women in the country, and also ensuring that upholding the Constitution within its preamble, speaking of a non-racist, non-sexist society. So I adhere to those principles and value and work tireless in terms of executing their task within the ambit of the terrain that I'm allowed to do that. And I've learned over the number of years in terms of the policy analysis, the policy design, and also building relations with other women and other men's organizations, including men as partners, where I've led at one stage in Gauteng the 100,000 Men's March. I've also worked very smoothly with not-for-profit organizations, both in my activism role and also in my professional capacity within the country. And I still believe that within our young, fragile democracy, we do have a lot of work, because we do have to ensure that we create the society where our young girls and boys, as we are socializing them and raising them in society, understand the importance of us having equality, and the equality in terms of gender is very critical, because you can have economic growth, but if you do not have an economic growth pathway that eradicates inequality, then it could destabilize your country, and it could put society in a situation where the majority of the population is in any case women. And if women is not empowered and women are not at the phase in their life where they can contribute or not, then economically, socially, then it becomes a deterrent. It could become a recipe for lagging behind, whether it's through education, whether it's in decision-making structures, whether it's in health, or whether it's just in society, because I believe the family is the basic unit of society. And as a social worker by profession, I
thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
I now allow honorable members to ask you questions. Mom Story, Honorable Manyoni, Honorable Malulege, Honorable Majeke, Honorable Velma, Honorable Nomsa, Honorable Kika, in that sequence. Thank you very much.
Good afternoon, Madam Masia. Since I have known you as a gender activist, and so many international protocols we have adopted as this parliament, and we are participating internationally, and we have got so many programs that we have adhered to in terms of gender equality. We have followed the CADA ASMAL reviewer at some stage, and at this stage we are still convinced that there is something that we are not doing properly as the JCCE. Could you maybe identify areas that are grey areas, you know, in the implementation of all the laws that I'm talking about? And just be honest to us, because we are now 23 years in government. We really have to do our utmost best. First of all, I find ourselves talking to ourselves as members of parliament, as NGOs, the national gender machinery as a whole. But do the people down there understand what we're talking about? I just want to hear your opinion, Sylvia. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Indeed, I have to concur by starting with the review of the CADA ASMAL report, where recommendations in terms of the structure, the composition, the roles and function of the commission have been outlined. The grey areas that I would like to zoom in quickly in terms of the international and also the continental conventions that we have done. What, in my understanding, is we are not doing very well. We have got the PAPUDA, we've got the CEDAW, we've got the Beijing, we have got the AU Charter. What we are not doing well is in terms of patriarchy. We have got a definition, the language of Beijing, on how do we speak and how should we speak about gender equality and equity in terms of gender is both male and female, and also including same-sex relationships, whether it is males and males or females and females. We are not doing very well in that terrain. Why we are not doing well and why people on the ground do not know what we are not doing well is because we perpetually see a society where in when a child is born, when the socialization happens in the family, it's a girl. It is not a human being as an equal person that can contribute to the family unit as the basic unit of society. Within the socialization and the raising of the girl, for an example, the girl child is still being taught in the household to do more household tasks. Even if the girl child is in matric, the girl child will still be required to do nurturing and care as opposed to doing homework and making sure the girl child can prosper. Secondly, the girl child still gets nudged into doing math literacy and not pure mathematics. Then the boy child then pursue a career that is much more a Scarfield, so we are not doing well in terms of education. Thirdly, in terms of dignity, for now we realize that many girl children lose school days because of not having access to sanitary towels. Now we have not done well. Since the announcement of President Nsona in 2014 that we should increase access to sanitary towels to learners and to vulnerable children, as a country we have not yet had the overarching coordination. It's not done. Everybody is doing the sanitary towels on their own manner. It is not coordinated. The third issue is in terms of gender-based violence. We are known in the country, there was advertisements at one stage that every second minute a woman is raped, and we all got very hysterical because we ask ourselves what has gone wrong. We know that we have learned that we are not doing very well in terms of obedience, law obedience. South Africa has got progressive policies in terms of Domestic Violence Act, it got the criminal justice system. However, we still see the victim will go to make sure that the victim complains. But thereafter, the perpetrator will still be finding a way of getting out. So we are not doing very well in terms of that. The lack of the structure to coordinate the gender-based violence process in the country or the strategy or the policy document is unknown. So currently we still see a continuation of different interventions with a lack of coordinating structure. Then in terms of our process on the conventions, our constitution is very, very clear. Where we rectify conventions, we find already that we have got, in terms of healthcare, a process in place that assists us, but we are not doing very well when it comes to the maternal passing rate. We see a number of moms losing their lives when they give birth to their children. So we're still having good healthcare systems in place. We still have the elements within healthcare that we need to monitor, whether it's access, whether it is quality, whether it is a service that's engendered. We've
Thank
also...
you very much. Is over. Honorable Mateke. Oh, that was your question. Honorable Manyoni, sorry.
Thanks, Chairperson. Thanks, Mazia. Mazia, in terms of the information you supplied to this panel, from 2012 to 2013, you were a commissioner. And presently, of course, after that, you became the director on the same related issues, women, youth, disabled persons, HIV, AIDS. And presently you are a private secretary minister in presidency responsible for women. In other words, you are also very close to policy making and implementation. Now, the question is, what prompts you to apply for this position of, again, being a commissioner for gender equality when you were there before, and obviously you left, and you again are considering going back.
Thank you very much, Honourable Member, for the question. In terms of what prompted me to reapply, in my organization, the South African National Civic Organization, in my understanding in terms of the tasks that the country have and the skill that I have been nominated by SANCO pertaining to the fact that there's a lot that has been done, but there's still much more to be done. And as an organization, myself as an instrument, a person that have got the skills and also have the capacity, saying that I should consider accepting the nomination, which I did, and applying to return, because there is a number of areas in terms of policy development, policy implementation, in terms of gender, that still needs to be done. I still believe that while I went outside and applied the actual policies, it gave me an opportunity to learn more, gave me an opportunity to build a bigger rapport, and also gave me an opportunity to be one of the people that could serve the country at best, because now I have gone back into the actual implementation phases once more within the administration, gone back actual into how from an outside see within the ministry, because there again there is also noting that between the two, where CGE is not necessarily reporting to the ministry, but there is some roles that could be, we could see that there is one role in terms of oversight and in terms of accounting and policy analysis. Those two roles could be shared, and there is a process to say where does the one start and where does the other one end, and how does the complementation, how should it happen at best in the best interest of our country and in the best interest of the men and women of this country. So I have returned in terms of accepting the responsibility with a confidence, with a leadership style, and with the knowledge that I've acquired now being inside in the CGE, moving out, and returning with this understanding that this is the 20-year review of the CGE has shown there's a much more strength in terms of research, the research areas where they have done a lot of research, and also in terms of the oversight monitoring the court cases, in particular, as I alluded earlier to the violence against women of the gender-based violence, how those court cases have coined out, how they
even... Thank you very much. That's 4 minutes.
Thank you,
Professor.
Memazia, with the experience that you gained while you were still at the CGE for that period, and the experience that we are talking about outside CGE, now you have that passion of coming back and working again in the CGE. Can you tell us the challenges that are faced by women in South Africa? And if you are appointed again as the commissioner, what will you do to ensure that you address those challenges? And please give two examples. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The challenges that women in South Africa face, one of the biggest challenges is the violence against women and children or the gender-based violence. The biggest challenge is we have got progressive laws. The good news is we've got progressive laws. We have got institutional systems in place. The challenge is that we've got disobedience. Disobedience from perpetrators, from society, whereby we see men murdering, raping or killing the women or children, and we also see women abusing men likewise. One of the solutions and the research that one has read and has seen in terms of the dialogues and in terms of the intervention is that if we could, within the South African society, enact take the very same laws to empower both men and women in the country on how to respect human rights, how to have a situation on empowerment strategy much more. And the empowerment strategy should be embedded within education system, within the education life orientation classes, within the church, the faith-based structures in terms of moral regeneration, within the denouncement and also the condemnation from any civil disobedience. We should be able to stand and make sure that we have a deterrent, a real deterrent that will deter any perpetrator to continue in terms of gender-based violence. Then in terms of patriarchy, oppression, or undermining women in decision-making structures. One of the challenges that we have currently in the country is we only have the ruling party that have got a policy within their party whereby there's gender parity. Therefore, women in decision-making structures in the country does not falter. We still see with senior managers within the corporate sector not having met a threshold of 50-50. We still see within the public sector, we see there is an increase and there is a genuine application of the gender machinery whereby women in leadership and women in decision-making is indeed present. So what we think we should do there is we should really consider lobbying, advocating, and speaking to all other political parties to encourage them to really consider adopting a process and following the good example set.
I'm saying 3 minutes is over. Honorable Mateke.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you to our candidate. My question is as follows. If you become a commissioner, maybe after the interviews and everything, how would you plan to lead the commission ethically for sustainability in terms of economy, environment and society, taking into account impact on internal and external stakeholders? Thank you.
Thank you very much. In terms of the economy, one of the government strategies and also the responsibility of CGE to monitor, to regulate policies, budgets, frameworks within the economy, in terms of the socio-economic empowerment. The quick one will be to make sure the monitoring of the 9-point plan, whether it's the ocean economy, or whether it's the energy process, or whether it's the PAKISAS, to monitor how it is engendered, and the engenderment will not just be in terms of gender disaggregated data, but it will also be in terms of women ownership, in terms of women's leadership. So there the recommendation will definitely come back to Parliament in terms of looking how do we fare because of the mandate of CGE. In terms of the environmental issue, the issue in terms of energy renewal or water and sanitation, knowing very well that we are participants in South Africa in terms of the International Convention of some of the committees where we have to look in terms of how we provide services, basic services to women, whether the toilet is engendered, whether we will monitor a situation that we never again will have open toilets that does not have a suitability for both genders, and also whether the economic development, whether it is any mining or any environmental, I would include a land, the acquisition of land. I would include a process of making sure that, again, we monitor whether women the access to land and the women access to title deeds in terms of properties are also going to be expedited. In terms of society, my role would then be in terms of the roles and function, not just to do the research on gender-based violence and to give a report and a recommendation, but also in terms of the socio-economic development. Earlier I spoken in terms of
Honorable Velma.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for being here. My question relates to the marginalized groups. We have various marginalized groups like disabled women, the disabled girl child, and elderly women, the LGBTQI community. So they have additional abuse or violence that they experience as marginalized groups. Now, I see that you were on the CGE in 2002 to 2013. What was done during that time against marginalized, you know, to assist marginalized groups? And then if you would be appointed as a commissioner, what can be, what extra things can be done to assist these marginalized groups? Thank you.
Thank you very much for the question. In terms of the marginalized groups, within the CGE, there's always been work with LGBTs. There's always been work being done in terms of the disabled women. And in terms of what was done in the past, in my comprehension, in my if my memory serves me correct, has been in terms of the advocacy, the lobbying, the education, and the empowerment, forging, also making recommendations with organizations that directly have for the implementation. FCGE is mainly the oversight and also to have the education, information and communication and conducting research. The support that has been in place there, to that end, it led to forging partnership with men as partners, where there have been relations and also reports. There have also been some research done. I know in particular there's areas that have been zoomed into some of the research areas where we've looked in terms of the services provided to LGBTs and also to same-sex marriages. Also, we had some hearings. There have been some hearings where there have been complaints, because CGE also has a responsibility where to uphold, as an institution supporting democracy, to uphold any violation, and whereby we had hearing sessions where there have been sessions. So in continuation, should I be the candidate, that process will definitely find its expression in terms of the roles and responsibility as outlined by the CGE Act that allows us to do that type of support, lobbying, review, research, partnership, but in the main, educating the South African citizens that we are all equal. That is embedded within the principle of equality, within our equality where we have different needs, and that very same able needs that we then have to harness and build on, and to make sure the society appreciates and have for the human rights element.
Honourable
Thank you, Chair, and also thank you, Stephen Mazia. My question is on the National Strategic Plan to address gender-based violence. It was a program that was abandoned by the current minister, and given the fact that you've been in this gender issues for a while, so I think you might be familiar with it. The National Strategic Plan for Gender-Based Violence, it was actually the intention was to create and improve implementation of gender-based violence response services, focus heavily and invest on strategically in prevention, and also create real accountability through clear institutional arrangements with clear measure of commitments. But then the program, as I said, it was abandoned. And the reason why a lot of NGOs were pushing this program was the fact that they've seen that program giving results regarding HIV when there was a national strategic plan for HIV. I just want to know, you were in the Office of Women for a while, so you might be aware of this, because they were actually doing funding. There was a committee that was assigned to look into this strategic plan. So should you be a commissioner, do you think it is something that we need to pursue CGE together with NGOs, or do you think the fact that it has been abandoned was a good
Thank you very much. In fact, whilst I was a commissioner, I was a member as an observer on the same council. In terms of my lessons, I've also worked in HIV and AIDS, so I was also very active in participating in the NSQ from NSQ1 to where we are now in the country. So I'm familiar with the structure and the importance of having a coordinating structure, and also familiar with the roles and function. In terms of GBV, yes, if I'm appointed as a commissioner, one of the UN recommendations is indeed, but you see, structure, strategy should follow structure. We should not just establish a structure for the sake of having a structure that will repeat research, a structure that will complain, a structure that will actually look for grey areas. We should have a strategy prior. So in my recommendation would be that the Department of Women's responsibility is to facilitate a strategy, a strategic framework within the country, which could become one of the recommendations that there should be a board or a structure with clear, definite roles and responsibilities. At the time, I was one of the people that had spoken to the then minister and said, the structure leans itself towards the research element, it leans itself towards the oversight element, and some of the NGOs, myself wearing an NGO hat in terms of SANCO, would argue that it's best that we have a balanced structure that will assist us to get to the bottom of the gender-based violence. Yes, there has been a current intervention in terms of structuring the national dialogue for 16 days, looking at the actual fact-finding to learn exactly what is happening in society without just having a white elephant structure or a structure that will not necessarily assist us to attain the actual goals that we want to do. And the bottom line is we want to make sure that we have a safe society. We want to make sure that men and women can be free or freely in the society, and they can have trust in the criminal justice system, and they can have trust in SAPS when they do report and they go to the police station. The crime statistics will also give us some elements of indication in terms of how we're faring. This is some of the areas that this structure should be able to monitor. To monitor whether, when indeed a reported case, reported at a police station, does go to the criminal justice system, does result into the perpetrator having a sentence that serves as a deterrent for nobody else to repeat the same crime. But having a structure for the sake of having a number of expertise could be a lost opportunity for us to have expertise and skills and a budget. Sometimes when we throw money at a problem, that's not a money problem, it's a challenge. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honorable Kekane.
Thank you, Chair. Memazia, when I looked at your CV, I thought you're sitting in a better situation because you had experience of CGE, even if it was for a short period. But you also have another experience of the Department of Women. So from where you are sitting, you are able to even identify where the problem lies, the disjuncture, and be able to say, this is how we think we can take CGE forward. I was listening very carefully when you were listing the challenges that we have, whether policy coordination and implementation. You also spoke about coordination around sanitary towers where everybody is doing everything. You also spoke about the lack of engendering the economy, and probably I will even add whether our budgets are engendered. You remember during the time of Leprex Govenda when we started to look at engendering the budget. But you, from where you are sitting, you're not telling me what needs to be done. Because the minister, wherever she is, you can be a better conveyor belt. I know you are a secretary. You're not sitting at decision making, but you are the eyes and ears of the minister and the advisor to the minister in your own way, because wherever she goes, you know. You navigate her in all the things that she must do. Where do you think are the challenges? And how do you think we can narrow some of these things and make sure that there is impact on the CGE and even our gender mainstreaming programs broadly?
Thank you very much. It's a very difficult question. In terms of the challenge, I would start with the institutionalization. The challenge derives from how do we separate and complement the two roles and function, the ministry and CGE. Earlier I alluded to there is the oversight which the constitution gives to CGE in terms of having oversight, in terms of policies, budgets. The challenge is in terms of the gender responsive budgeting. The process that you correctly alluded to is in one of the priority areas, because when we speak about socioeconomic empowerment or women empowerment in terms of the economy, we do need to have a policy framework. We do need to have a document in terms of gender responsive budgeting. So the importance of us focusing in seeing how best as a country will we not just say we give a set aside, we take the 9-point plan, we look at a certain percentage of how much percentage of women are beneficiaries and not per se ownership in terms of the budgeting. That is a serious grey area. We also have the process of having to lobby National Treasury in order for National Treasury to guide. If you say you have a gender responsive budgeting, whether the relaxation on taxation of sanitary towels or the exemption of taxation on sanitary towels could be perceived as one of the elements to enable us to engender the budget is one other element. The other one is in terms of the 9-point plan. As a monitoring, as the institution responsible for monitoring, how much percentage of the set aside for small business economic development, how much percentage of that does find itself in the real space of women, or whether there's fronting. The challenge therein lies in how we report. If the analysis of the reports can duck into ownership, decision-making, allocation, beneficiaries, then when it comes to Parliament, Parliament will be adding indicators. And those indicators will then zoom in to say, is 50% of the women that benefited from Operation Pakisa, if there's 50% beneficiaries, how many of them are indeed owners, how many of them are indeed beneficiaries, and what level of percentage of ownership do they have? So that is one of the institutional structural challenges that there is. The second one is in managing relations. Managing relations and understanding that there has to be a continuation of the facilitation of whether you call it sessions or whether you call it quarterly engagement between the two institutions, whether there is a regular communication, an institutionalized session between CGE and the ministry or not. That in itself will then present a platform for discussion and also the responsible portfolio committee in Parliament to ensure that there is a communication. Then thirdly, in terms of whether we know, there's also an issue about why the Kada Asmal reported in terms of the budgeting process, who gets much more of the budget, who gets less of the budget, and how do you account for that budget. That element should also be considered in line with the other Chapter 9 institutions in the country. Whether the allocation that currently come from National Treasury to CGE and to the Ministry for Women is sufficient, or whether it is inadequate and it is not sufficient in order for them to discharge their responsibility. So that's the third element in terms of the process. In terms of the roles and functions, there is in the pipeline a consideration to make impact and review the current CGE Act. And my understanding is in the review of the previous CGE Act was in the alignment with the revised constitution of the country. It did not necessarily went into the substantive issues. It just went in to ensure as the alignment of the constitution. Then that was done. With the current understanding, should I be in the CGE, and with the current understanding of consideration to ask Parliament to review the current Act, precisely would zoom into that area in terms of roles and responsibilities, noting that the Constitution says and other responsibilities given to CGE, and that responsibility.
I'm not making a follow-up. It's a food for thought for the Department of Women. You are part of all the departments in the country. One department appoints 7 board members. Out of 7 board members, 2 are women, 5 are male. Angel Vortjutte. Is it fair? Who must start to take those matters up when we have the Department of Women to speak for women?
Repeat
consider
yourself,
all those.
Repeat yourself, Honorable Vikas.
They are a department
okay.
of women. Other departments, national departments, appoint board members. And I will give an example. From 7 members of the board, 8 department appoints 2 women and 5 males. And they are a department of women. They don't raise a concern about that. Yet, we want to see them driving transformation of women. It's a cause for concern for us. Before we even go to CGE, you must make your voice to be heard.
Okay. Thank you, Honorable Chair. If I heard correctly, the Honorable Member said it is not a question, it's a statement. A food for thought. Therefore, the statement would be supported. Thank you.
Ungenze njani ngisho ukuthi le mkhulu siyanda la uthola ukuthi ezinye izinkolo eziningi sekuyenzeka uthola ukuthi abafundisi bakhona bayaphengule izingane uthola ukuthi ingane sezizaba zigcina seyimpimpana kanjani amanye amakhesi akhona mhlawumbe kothelini ngifuna ukwazi ukuthi wena uma ngabe usubuka lolu daba selufakwe ezandleni zakho wena masekwenzeke wathola lesi sikhala lana wangena wena ungenze njani ungalenze njani lolu daba. Ngiyabonga.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. Mrs. Mazia, what I would like to know is that should there be a case of sexual abuse, and only to find that the victim is a young boy and the perpetrator is a priest, as it normally happens in other denominations. Now, if a case of sodomy is brought to you or to your attention as a commissioner, would you accept such a case and how would you deal with it? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yes, any case, any violation of any human rights and gender rights is the responsibility of CGE. The case will be accepted, the complaint will then go to the complaints process, and at CGE we've got a responsibility to investigate, we've got a further responsibility to call or to subpoena, whether it is both parties, but we will not do that outside the laws of the country. because we know ordinarily the case will A, go to the South African Police Services and to the criminal justice system. So our responsibility in that process would be to monitor and see how the South African Police Services and the criminal justice system perform its task. Because as a Commission for Gender Equality, it is for both men and women, irrespective of whether the perpetrator is a male or a female, irrespective of whether the person is a person of the clergy, irrespective of class, irrespective of qualification, yes, indeed, a full investigation will be commissioned in terms of finding the facts and also supporting. Furthermore, support should be provided to the victim. Because the victim...
Thank you very much. It's already 3 o'clock. So, thank you very much for honoring our invitation. Would you like to raise any matter or comment to the committee?
Thank you, Honorable Chair and the committee members. Now, I would just like to express my heartfelt appreciation for affording me the opportunity to be part of the panel. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you very much for coming. Have a safe trip. Babuli Sekai. Our next candidate. Amen.